God is so good. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand with me and repeat these words. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, we stand again in your presence this morning and we covenant that we want to be like Jesus. We want to know you better. We ask, Lord, that we would clear away every entrance in our lives, that we would spend time with you. This morning we have come for worship again. We ask, Lord, that we might forget about the mundane things of this old earth and be lifted into your presence. Well, I would ask, Father, that you'd be with me as I bring the message this morning. May it bring comfort and peace to those who are hurting. May it give encouragement to those as we look toward the future, knowing that there is absolutely nothing happens but Jesus cares, and that we can have peace in our hearts. Bless us today as we study. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated, and let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. My sermon title this morning is Peace Be Still. Matthew chapter 8, starting, did I say chapter 7? It's Matthew chapter 8, starting in the 23rd verse. This is the story about Jesus calming the storm. It says, then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Competition from the devil this morning. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. You know, I take great comfort from reading stories, reading God's Word. I remember so well September the 11th, 2001. I was sitting in my study. I was preparing a sermon for an evangelistic series that I was going to be doing in Louisville, Kentucky. The phone rang. It was my son, my oldest son, Trevor. And he says, Dad, turn your television on. I'm driving to Memphis, Tennessee, and I just heard on the radio that terrorists have flown hijacked planes into the world, into the Twin Towers and also the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. I turned on the television, of course, to see a replay of these planes hitting the buildings. And you know where I spent the rest of my day. I was watching that television as these news commentators brought the news of what was happening. And I suppose even now it seems that the storms of strife are all around us these days. But I take comfort in God's Word. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He says, why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. Then he arose and he rebuked the winds of the sea, and there was a great calm. The storm died away as quickly as it had come. The clouds had rolled back. The stars now appeared in the sky, and the waves slapped gently against the side of the boat. When you look at chapter 8 of Matthew, you begin to understand that it is a chapter that deals with faith, and it is also a chapter that helps us to increase our faith. You begin the chapter, there is a centurion. He comes to Jesus and he asks him, "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and he's suffering terribly." And Jesus says, "I will go and heal him." But the centurion replies, he says, "I'm a man of authority. I have men under me. And if I says to a man, go, he goes. And if I ask another man to come, he comes." And he says, "Lord, you are a busy man. All that you have to do is just speak the word and my servant will be healed." And Jesus turns to those that are with them, those who are of the faith. And he says, "I've not seen so great faith in all Israel." And he says, "The time is going to come, but those who think they're going to be in the kingdom are not going to be there. But those who simply trusted, those of little faith, they are going to occupy the kingdom." And then he says to the centurion, he says, "Go on, be it according to your faith." And the Bible tells us that man was healed that very same hour. That's a wonderful story. It's a story that gives us confidence that in the storms of our life, whatever it might be, we can find peace and contentment. Each one of the parables deals with that peace. Another one of the parables deals with Jesus after spending time with that centurion. He goes to Peter's house and Peter's mother-in-law is sick. Jesus prays for her, lays his hand upon her. Immediately she gets up and she begins to minister unto Jesus and his disciples. No doubt her faith grew as a result of what happened on that particular day. But folks, you're going to also see as you read the chapter, there's a cost involved in following Jesus. We may give of him of our time, we may give of him of our means, and without giving these things, we don't experience the things that Jesus would have us experience in these days, albeit a little heaven on earth. To be able to go to your home and find peace and contentment. To find there is where you can shut out the trials and tribulations of the world. You can spend that little time. You can sleep at night. I can imagine as Peter and these other fishermen sat there that particular day in their boat. And when Jesus rebuked the winds and the seas obeyed, they were awestruck. But there's something else I learned from when you looked at this particular chapter and pondered it for some time, you will find that wherever Jesus is, and we have faith, there should be peace. You know, Jesus was there on the lake in the same boat as these other disciples, but Jesus was sleeping. He trusted his heavenly Father to care for him in every situation. But that was not the case with the disciples. Had they trusted Christ, they would have not felt the terror of the tempest. Maybe they too would have laid down and went to sleep. But no, they were looking at the winds, they were looking at the waves, instead of focusing upon Christ. You know, there are lots of Bible studies that we can find that would give us peace and contentment, because in this life, as we travel down this road of life, we find ourselves in all kinds of struggles. But the struggles that come, that assail us, if we would allow us, we can see that, if we would allow it, we would allow the devil to see, allow the devil to bring to us all the difficulties, and that's where our focus would be. And some of these difficulties would look insurmountable. But folks, to understand that with Christ, everything is possible. And that striving by our own efforts, because when we strive by, you know, putting all our own effort into it, we tend to forget what Jesus can do for us. Joshua and Israel were heading towards the promised land. You know that Jesus was by his side? In Joshua chapter 5, and I want to go back there because I want to make the point that these disciples, they had forgotten that Jesus was in their very midst. He was in the boat. He was asleep. And folks, if Jesus stands with us or is there with us, we don't have a whole lot to worry about. Joshua chapter 5. Let me just get there. This is a good story. In fact, we talked about it in our at prayer meeting this week. Joshua chapter 5, starting in the 13th verse. Listen, this is good stuff. It says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' He didn't know who he was. 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I am now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for a servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went in or out, and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days, but on the seventh day you go around seven times, and then you're going to have the priests blow the trumpets, and all the people will shout. If you do that, the walls will come tumbling down.'" Now, the point that I want to make is that if Christ is for us, who can be against us? And if we invite him into our presence and he's standing with us, we have no fear. We should have no fear of the enemy. We should have no fear of the trials and tribulations that come into our lives, because Christ is going to take care of us. In Desire of Ages, page 336, it says, "We trust in our own strength till our hope is lost and we are ready to perish. Then we remember Jesus. And if we call upon Him to save us, we shall not cry in vain, though He sorrowfully reproves our unbelief and self-confidence. He never fails to give us the help that we need." Too often, dear hearts, we accept needless cares and burdens that God does not intend for us to bear. They make life difficult, especially when we neglect to pray. Do you know what? I go back now to the disciples in the boat. The storm is on the lake. They were struggling with the elements. They were trying to get that boat to the far shore. But it seems like as hard as they rowed, the wind kept beating them back. And they were only focused on what their efforts or what they could do. They allowed Jesus to remain asleep through the tempest. And as long as Jesus was asleep and they were focused on their efforts, they were just standing in the same place. And pretty soon they were tired. They were overwhelmed. The waves start to come over the side of the boat. And finally, out of desperation, they says, "Jesus, save us." He stands up. He says, "Peace, be still." And it's perfectly calm. Now, the point that I'm trying to make, in the difficulties of life, if we try to take care of everything ourselves. Now, folks, we have things today that 100 years ago people didn't worry about. Financial difficulties. There is sickness. There is disobedience. There is violence. There are all kinds of things. And we try to deal with them by ourselves. And all the time, where is Jesus? He's sitting on the chair. He's on the couch. He is waiting for us, and He falls asleep. Prayer. We make life difficult for ourselves because we neglect to pray, and as long as we don't pray, we allow Jesus to sleep through the tempest. So when trials and tribulations come, don't try to do it yourself. Pray, and Jesus will be right there. As Jesus stood with Joshua, Jesus will stand with us. Jesus says, "The battle is not yours, the battle is mine." Put your trust in Jesus. From the Review and Herald, July the 4th, 1910, Ellen White says, "The path of sincerity and integrity is not a path free from obstruction, but in every difficulty we are to see a call to prayer." Let me start this all over. The path of sincerity and integrity is not a path free from obstruction, but in every difficulty we are to see a call to prayer. There is no one living who has any power that he has not received from God, and the source whence it comes is open to the weakest of human beings. So we have not, because we ask not. Every sincere prayer is heard in heaven. It may not be fluently expressed, but at the heart of it is Jesus that is interceding for us in the sanctuary above. And Jesus brings our prayers to the Father fluently. He knows exactly what is happening. It is not awkward. There is no stammering. The words are beautiful and fragrant with the incense of His own perfection, we are told. Prayer. It's a simple thing. If God had asked us to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem or go to some shrine, we would do everything in our power to do it, thinking that God would bless us. But you want the blessings to come from heaven? A simple thing is to ask, pray. The Bible indicates that events like what are happening around us today, yeah, we can look back at what happened in 2001, but seems like it's just been continually downhill. You know, there's wars and rumors of wars. We talked about it in our evangelistic meetings last night. There's famines and pestilence, false religions. It says before Jesus comes, the gospel is going to go into all the world, and we showed in these different on these different continents, in these different countries, where people are being baptized by the thousands. They are coming to Jesus. It talks about another sign of the last days is the upheaval in nature. Earthquakes and tornadoes. Floods and fire. Ships going down at sea. Economic problems. Economic boycotts. These are things that are going to happen in the last days. And they are happening. They have happened. We are living in the time of the end. Jesus is coming soon. Paul makes reference to times like these, and he calls them terrible times, warning that men would be fierce, that they would be despisers of those that are good. You know, I was talking with my dad this morning, and my dad, our relationship with God, we get on some Bible topic just for a few minutes until he can stand no more, and then he'll go off onto some other subject. But he was wondering, you know, why all the violence? Why is it that people treat each other so violently? And we talked about this in our meetings last night. Surely the Holy Spirit is striving with his heart. And I was able to witness to him and talk about, you know, the inhumanity of man towards man and what God did during the flood. And I says, in the last days, God is going to destroy the wickedness by fire. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Sin is not going to raise up the second time. And my dad says, I wonder, will he do that? And I says, well, sure, that's what the promise is. And I had an opportunity to witness just a little bit more about, you know, the devil and what he has done to mankind. Oh, I pray that my dad will see these beautiful truths and would come to understand. He understands Saturday is the Sabbath, but he's bound up in this tradition. So, the Lord, that's all I can do is turn it over to him. But every opportunity I get, I want to tell him about Jesus and his goodness. Folks, as we move closer to the end, the words of Paul that men would be fierce and despisers of that which is good, we're seeing that all around us, aren't we? Jesus speaking of those days in Matthew 24, 21 and 22, he says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no nor ever shall be. And unless these days should be short, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Folks, we don't have to wait for some great catastrophe in the future. Things are happening now. as we list these 10 things from Matthew 21, you know, the wars, the famines, the pestilence, the false religions, the gospel taken into all the world, the upheaval in nature, the economic boycotts, the problems. These things have already happened. The coming of Jesus is closer than ever before. The good news in all this is this hearth. This world is not our final home. Jesus says that He had a place. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We can have confidence in Jesus. Another one of my favorite stories is found in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is 2 Kings chapter 6. It says, "Now the king of Hamram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, 'I will set up my camp in such and such a place.' The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware of passing that place, because the Armenians are going down there.' So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places." Now listen to this. "This enraged the king of Hamram. He summoned his officers and he demanded of them, 'Will you tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?'" Now he must have been really put out, thinking that some of his men, he says, "Can you tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" He thought that there was a traitor in the camp. Verse 12 says, "None of us, my lord," said one of the officers, "but Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, I've got ahead of myself just a little. Just let me back up. He says, "None of us, my lord," said one of the officers, "but Elijah the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel every word you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man, that's the servant of Elisha, got up, when the servant of the man got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my lord, what shall I do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy, now this is what God expects, is how we are to treat those who are our enemies. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. He said, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha asked. Now, most of us would do, we'd send up a prayer, "Lord, send the hailstones from heaven. Destroy these people." But Elisha prayed, "Lord, cause them to be blind." Now look in verse 19. Elisha told him, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elijah said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and they were inside Samaria. When the kings of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So the king prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them all away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Amram stopped raiding Israel's territory. God is so good. You know, you talk about doing evangelism. Everyone in that army, they were convinced that Israel was not the enemy. They went back to Amram, and they began to witness about the God of heaven and what Elisha did. Instead of killing us, they fed us. They made a feast for us. Wow, what a witness these people were. You see, when Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled," he knew about that better place. We too know about the better place, albeit from the written word, or we have heard it spoken. But because we trust the Lord, because he says that he has a better place, a place where there's going to be no more evil, there's going to be no terror, we're not going to have to deal with the trials and the tribulations and the sorrows, we're not going to have to deal with the financial difficulties and sicknesses. All that we have to do is give our lives to him. When we give our lives to him, we become a citizen of his kingdom. And like the disciples in the storm, when the storms assail us, we too can cry out, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." But we do it not in our own efforts, but we do it with Christ standing by our side. When we do it with Christ standing by our side, in spite of all the trials and tribulations, we can have peace, we can have contentment. Like Elijah, God will hear us and he will protect us. If the captain of the Lord's hosts could come and be with Elisha, I believe the captain of the Lord's hosts can come and be with us. Folks, we have a wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful God. We don't only have, you know, the church family to give us peace. We not only have the angels, even the captain of the Lord's host, he will come and stand with us. We can have peace. We can have contentment, even in these troublesome times. We know that it's not going to get a whole lot better, but we also know that Jesus is coming soon, and we want to be ready for him, don't we? May God bless us, is my prayer and my desire, in his name. Amen. Let us close with him.